saw that there is a machlokas about balls, sif men hay, and the question, of course, is what's the reason for the machmirim? Now, what we're going to do is first say three svaros found in the Achronim, then we'll go back to the source, the Shibol Melechet, and then we can talk about what that means in the halacha. So, if you look at the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra implies that it's based off of the Yerushalmi, that a city was destroyed because they played Baal, and at least the Medrash in Eicha says that was Baal and Shabbos. And of course, if you adopt this understanding, presumably it would be Aser inside as well. We'll have to discuss the implications of that idea, but for now, we'll just note that. So option number one is that the reason why it's Muksa is because it's Aser to play ball on Shabbos. Option two, this is the Prima Gadim, among others, Ishel Avram, Sifkan Lein Beis. And he says, no, it's because it lacks Hachana. Meaning to say that it's Muksa like a rock. Well, it's true that you can turn a rock into a kli, but there are parameters that need to be met, and otherwise it remains Muksa. And essentially, what we're talking about here is something that had insufficient tahana. Just like we talked about a rock. So according to one opinion, yichud l'shabbos achas is not enough. You need a maisa, whatever it is. So here, you have not done the sufficient preparation. And it's strange because, what do you mean, this kid was making it? No. Says that a katan can't do hachana. Now, it's also, that's interesting, because a kid could have kavana, we say, in other places in halacha, but he doesn't have machshava. I would have thought this is more totally, you know, it doesn't need, you don't need das in the standard sense of the word, but Prima Gadim implies that maybe you do. It's totally in das, you need to be a bar das. This relates to another interesting question, which I hope we'll get to today when we Neder finish the simon. The degree to which muksas chal on the cheftza based off of the machshava of the bailam. The very end of the simon, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the question of muksalaniyim and ashirim, and we say, for example, that big day ashirim amuksalaniyim, because they're maktan, it's totally nebailim, and their das creates on it a cheftza shel muksa, and even though it's usable, it's functionable for aniyim, it doesn't matter because of the bailim. So, anyway, that sort of is the approach that the Prima Gadim is saying, that the katan might have das, but the das of a katan is not enough. Machzis HaShekel also takes this type of approach. Now, if you were to take the second approach of the Prima Gadim, then if you could overcome those obstacles and have sufficient yichud, like you had yichud gamur by an adult, it would be enough. And certainly, if you took this approach, it would make a lot of sense that nowadays, where balls are manufactured for the purposes of playing, it's not just like you took something from the floor of the forest and started throwing it around, that it would be mutter. And as the Chevra has noted, many of the contemporary poskim have said this is the correct interpretation, and therefore nowadays balls would be mutter for Svardim. Rav Eliashiv said that because certainly manufactured balls in a factory do have sufficient hachana. Whereas again, if you took the first approach, presumably that would make no difference. If it was usher to play ball in the olden days, regardless of, in other words, is the muksa, the difference in the first approach and the second approach? First approach is it's muksa because of the isser of playing ball. Even then you could clear, is it a klishmachal isser, muksa, muksa gamor? Whereas the second approach is saying it's just muksa because of lack of hachana. And then the third approach, this is the approach among others taken by the Mishnah Brura, is that playing with something is not a chashavah hishtamshus to give something a taras kli. Meaning to say that, again, let's say you're starting off with a stone, and you do yichud, and you had sufficient yichud, not like the pre megadim that the chisaron here is due to the lack of yichud, but rather you had enough yichud. You had yichud liolam, you had an adult do yichud liolam, whatever it is. But yichud for what? Yichud to play with? No. Yichud has to be when you're miyached the stone for something chashuv, to do something. If you're miyached your stone for a doorstop, okay? So again, you need sufficient yichud, whatever those standards are we've discussed. But once you have sufficient yichud, it's good enough. Because then you're miyached your stone to do something. But to just play with? Ah. Now, that of course, to some degree, begs the question, which is assuming that it's not stemming from an isser of playing, so why isn't playing something that's a chashava thing? Is it because you could play with anything? So maybe it's, you know, there's nothing that you couldn't throw around? And here too, according to this, and again, we're going to get into all these, and now I'm just setting up three stadim that are found in Yechonim, and we'll see what we have to think of. According to this pshat, you could clear about whether it would be different nowadays. If you just think, well, it's not chashev because just playing is stupid, and so playing was stupid, is still stupid, it's stupid, and therefore it needs a stamshus. So, okay, so then things haven't changed. If you say no, that's because since you're trying to demuxify something, so you need a chashev eshtamshus for the yichud to be sufficient. So when you're starting off with a stone, so this is not a chashev eshtamshus. But if you're manufacturing something from scratch and it's in the factory and it's you pay $26 for it and who knows what, so then maybe it would be different. In other words, according to the Graz Mahalech, it's Pashut, that Bizman is, that wouldn't be any different. According to the Prima Gadim's Mahalech, it's Pashut, that Bizman Hazeh would be totally different. And according to the Mishnah Brura's Mahalech, unclear whether Bizman Hazeh would be different. Now, before we go on, and maybe we should go back to the Makor Advarim, and look up the source. Well, where does it come from? The Beis Yosef quotes it from an Agur, quotes it from the Shibboleth Halakhet. Now,
isn't the Mishnah Berurah talking about something you wouldn't necessarily describe it as manufactured, but it's not natural if it's made of eitz or niyar.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
let's look at it. Which Mishnah Berurah?
Sifkan Kuf Nun Zayin.
Let's see. Bekador beinimu shel niyar o shel eitz she'ein shein kli alav machmas she'ra'oi lishokbo. The fact that this is just Roy Lishokbo does not give a Taurus Kli.
So if the,
and therefore, Vavik Evan, Moksami Gufa. Now, Niyar Oshel Eitz. So, I think, Yeshlach, again, one way to read the Mishnah Berurah, maybe even the simplest way to read the Mishnah Berurah is, it could have said, Bein Shehu Shel Niyar, Oshel Eitz, Oshel Plastic, Oshel Or, Oshel Mateches. It is Muksa, because something that's designated for play doesn't have Taurus Kli, because play designation is not really a Hishtamshus. Something only is a Kli when it has a Hishtamshus. If it doesn't have a Hishtamshus, it's not a Kli. And this, well, it does have a Hishtamshus, but it's such a Madna Hishtamshus. So, therefore, it doesn't have Kli. And, again, if we took that perspective, then you're right. Possibly, and maybe this is not the simple reading. I think that's, I'll acknowledge that. But I think it's a plausible read. And in fact, it's an argument that some of the contemporary Gedolim have said, which is that no. He's talking about Niyar. I don't know what exactly he means, but so you take an old newspaper and you roll it into a ball. Chveis, like a paper airplane. Bein shu shel eitz, it's like a piece of old wood that you throw around, right? You have leftover wood from your chair and you turn it into a basketball. But when you had something, and so, yeah, you said, so what is it? This is garbage, or it's construction material. No, it's not garbage, it's a toy. Nah, that's not enough. But if, but if it's a, if you built it for this, so how could you possibly say that it's not a kli? Is this a manufactured product? In other words, this, that approach is making the Mishnah Berurah very similar to the Prima Gada, right? And arguing, therefore, it wouldn't be true for ours. I would tend to agree with you that the simpler reading of the Mishnah Berurah is as you suggest. But one reason not to say that is because it's such a big chiddush to say that a manufactured product for a distinct use cannot be considered a kli for that purpose. That's sort of interesting. If you remember, we discussed this very question many times before. For example, is a sculpture or a painting a kli? Well, a sculpture, it's manufactured very carefully, but it's, what is it? It does nothing. You just like look at it, right? And we talked about this yesterday when we considered flowers or the like. Now, if you're going to take this idea of the Mishnah Berurah, especially if you're going to read it the way Yoni is suggesting, then this would actually force us to revisit a lot of questions. If you're going to say flowers are not muksa because they're a kli in the sense that they were cut for the purpose of beautifying my house, so beautifying is so much more chashuv than playing. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. So, certainly, this third approach is the most amorphous, most difficult to define, and difficult to apply. Because when you say something is muksa, because it's not chashuv, so what in the world does chashuv mean? And then again, like we were saying, arguing that it's different nowadays, not different nowadays, very unclear. Okay, now, as I said, so let's go back to the source. So as I said, this Beis Yosef quotes from an Agur quoting the Shmuel Yalakot. So a lot of the Chevra correctly today said, ah, we have to look back at the Makor and see what the Shmuel Yalakot actually says. Now, this is going to be one of those cases where when you look back at the Makor, you get an impression that's pretty different from what you would get when you look at the page of the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim and the Beis Yosef. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. So the Makor HaDvarim, as we said, is this Shiboli Aleket. Again, now interestingly, the Beis Yosef quotes it from an Agur. The Agur is incomplete as well. The Agur is what the Beis Yosef quotes it as. Does that mean that they didn't have the Shibuli Aleket? They had a different gears than the Shibuli Aleket? I don't know. It's hard to reconstruct the past. Maybe they had it, but this is their Havana in it. Or maybe they didn't have it, or maybe they had a different girsa. It's hard to know. But we have two texts, right? We have what the Beis Yosef says and what the Shibuli Aleket actually says. And it's important to know both of them. And then you have to figure out if they're actually different. Well, how do you paskin? Based off of the Beis Yosef or based off the Shibuli Aleket? Shibuli Aleket is longer piece. I think many of you had a chance to see it. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. First, he talks all about a type of ball that comes up in the Mishnayos and Taros. And the truth is, he's talking about a type of ball that was clearly manufactured. Meaning to say, it's not just a old ball, you know, like we were suggesting, you took a piece of extra wood and started throwing it around. But this was like, you know, an old-fashioned football, you know, pigskin, right? It was made out of leather, and it was filled with fur, with hair, and it was sewn together, and then, you know, there's two types. There's sewn closed and sewn where it's partially open. This was a serious ball. And that's a discussion in the Mishnayos in terms of Tum and Tahara. And as we know, we always have the question, well, what do the Mishnayos and Tumatara have anything to do with Muxer? Do they? Don't they? Discussion in the Gemara. So he says, well, you know, even though the matter is discussed in Mishnayos in Kalim, but that's a whole discussion with respect to Kabbalah Stuma. But it does have Torah's Kli. But then he quotes Rav Yehuda, I don't know who that is, that was the Kadurim of the Mishnayos, but our Kadurim are different. And they're more restrictive. And then, as if the fact that the Beis Yosef doesn't quote the whole Shibul Leleket wasn't enough of a problem, there's two Girsos in the Shibul Leleket. So there's two Girsos. One Girsa is Mamish like the Prima Gadim, and the other one is Mamish like the Mishnah Berurah. In fact, you could shtup all the different Achronim into the Shibul Leleket. So one girsa is aval machshev es hatino klomoyel, which is exactly what the Pri Megadim is saying. Yeah, there's machshava over here for kadurim shalanu, but who's machshava? The tinok's machshava. That's not good enough machshava. And then the other girsa is aval machshev es schok klomoyel. That's the Mishnah Berurah svara. Yeah, there's machshava. Machshava for what? To play with. Ah, schok. Schaik v'kalos rosh. Come on. So in the two girsos in the Shibul Leleket, you mamish have the two svaros of the achronim to explain the Shibul Leleket. I don't know if the pshat is that they each had a different girsa. I don't know. The historical development, I don't know. But that these two svaros are in the achronim and at least two girsos in the rishonim. And then he writes, you know, Bain Shiyeshbo Tarskli, Bain She'ein She'ein Tzorech Betiltel. And then, so maybe you have the line, you read the exact Lashon, and then we'll talk about what it means. I don't have it open in front of me. Right. Okay, that's when then we have the part of the Beis Yosef that these anyway are so dirty, you're not going to put them on top of your kelim. Good. So now, that line that Rav Ike just read is the very, very interesting line. And I think it could be read two ways. Probably the most natural way to read it, no, it's not by no means the only way to read it, is a very interesting idea. We talked about the idea that when it comes to a Kli Shemach Tol Heter, Tiltel Shelo L'Tzarich Klal is Aser, according to many Rishonim, and we were trying to figure out what in the world Tiltel Shelo L'Tzarich Klal means, what is it referring to? For example, we saw a discussion in a poskim, if I fiddle with my Kli Shemach Tol Heter because I enjoy that, so, we saw some achronim say, that's not shalom l'tzarich klal, that's a purpose. What's the purpose? I enjoy it. But we also had a tzad that it would be aser, because when we say that you need a kli shemalach tzad is only mutter l'tzorech, so it has to be something more significant. And that's probably the most natural way to read the Shibul Leleket. He's telling you that let's say it has Torah's Kli. So what's the use to play? Well, playing is not much of a tzorech. And therefore, if playing isn't a tzorech, so it's usher. It's usher. So you'll say, but I could still use it to cover my pots. Ugh, it's disgusting. So that's what he's saying. Now, if that's true, so now, if we're going to, let's say, plug it in Bizman Azeh, so you could say that it's still, you know, that's not, it's a, so we'll call Baal Taras Kli, and it's designated for playing, but playing is considered tiltel shelo tzarich klal, so it's going to be muksa. And then you'll say, nowadays, but you could use it to be mechaseh kli. So we actually saw someone, I think it was Nissen Karelitz, said that. In other words, now they're not so dirty. But that's a very hard argument to make.
Have you ever covered
because,
your pal with
the exactly, soccer? Even though it's true, it's not so dirty. And, you know, the Beis Yosef and the Shmuley Leket might have said, yeah, you could use our soccer balls because you'll cover your pot with them. But we would never in a million years use our soccer balls to cover our pots. And therefore, it's hard to argue that that's going to be enough. Just like we saw before in the postgame, when we talked about Shivri Kalim and the Roy L'chas Bomane, we talked about that nowadays, you know, we're not L'chas Amane. So that's the restrictive reading of the Shivulei Aleket.
But meaning, even if you...
Now, just let me finish. Now, if you held this way, if you held this way, and I didn't see it yet, but this is what the Chevra is saying from the Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kol. So, then maybe you'll say, okay, Bizman Azeh, Svardim have to be Machmir, not like Rav Eliashiv. However, it's a very hard argument to make for two reasons. Number one is, if this were really true, so then, meaning to say, I don't know about whether the Shibuli Aleket meant it, but the Mechaber didn't mean it. Because there should be some other place besides Birimiza, and this isn't even the line quoted in the Beis Yosef, right? Birimiza in an earlier part of the Shibuli Aleket, saying, you know, when we said Tiltul Shalol Tzach Klal is Aser, that includes games. And you need a hush of tiltal. You need to do something productive and unproductive movement. Like, it should have appeared somewhere else besides here.
It's not
even stated. It's not in the Beis Yosef. It's not any of the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Agur, which is what the Beis Yosef quotes. Again, maybe it's what the Shibuli Aleket says. Now, you could say, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go back to the sources. And the source is Machmir, and there, but it's not Pashut that then you're going to paskin like the Shibuli Aleket that has basically very little support anywhere else, and nobody ever said it. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's not at all obvious. Moreover, there's another way to read the Shibuli Aleket. That's not the only way to read it. And the other way to read what he's saying, and I actually think this isn't a bad read, is it's based off of the Yerushalmi, or actually the Shibuli Aleket himself quotes the Megillas Eicha a little bit later on, the Medrash Eicha, and that the reason what he's saying is not because you need a productive use. And without a productive use, tiltal is usher, in which case you should have talked about a lot of other things besides balls. But rather, because since ball playing on Shabbos is a horrible thing, and again, he has the version of the Medrash which mentions Shabbos, as opposed to Yerushalmi, which the Beis Yosef cites, which doesn't mention Shabbos. Could mean Shabbos, though it's less clear. But the reason why he's saying is that this is not have a hishtamshus, because the only hishtamshus is to play ball. Playing ball, that's horrible. That's the type of thing that destroys cities. And Elamai, you're going to say, you could still use it to cover my pot. Give me a break. You're not going to cover your pot. It's gross. That's what he means to say. He's, in other words, what? The goyim. That's what the Shibuli Aleket means. Now, he does quote it. He hasn't quoted it yet. It's true, but he does quote it. And that's what he means when he's saying there's no ishtamshus. It means there's no ishtamshus because the only ishtamshus there is an entirely inappropriate ishtamshus. Not necessarily isser in the sense that it wasn't formalized as an isser, but certainly there's no sanctioned use for this kli on Shabbos. Now, that still doesn't mean it would be mutter bizman hazeh if you think it's based off of the Yerushalmi or the Medrash, and that's still applicable. But it's not telling us a rule that would apply to other things besides ball playing. In other words, that having a kli shemlach leheter that has a use, but it's not a productive use, is not considered a use. It's unique to ball playing, and then, or whatever you think is going to be bichlal the din of the medrash. So essentially, I think, in the Shibulei Leket, you have a line that sounds like the Prima Gadim, a line that sounds like the Mishnah Berurah, and a line that sounds like the Gra. It's hard to be machria too much from this. Now,
but we're masking that the Shibulei Leket would say nowadays the ball would be. I'm saying both those ways would tell me that it's Aser Bizmanenu with the ball. It's just the Shulchan Aruch didn't mean it. But in Echnami, the original source, you say that.
The second.
No, because at the end, he goes back. And in terms of what. First, he clears about it if it has Taras Kli or not. And then he says, even if it has Taras Kli, it's still long. So, the first part might be correct, but it will still osir balls, right? It's just the question is it coming? Now, I'll tell you why. We could start thinking about whether it makes a difference, a little bit, which would be, if you're going to argue that the medrash about ball playing wasn't said to about everybody, then you and we're going to talk about that in one moment. Then you could start thinking about what the Shibulei Leket would say. Let's say for balls designated for types of people that ball playing is not such a problem, and we'll get back to that in one moment. So it's not an open and shut case what you're saying for that reason. But yes, let's get back to that now. As I mentioned, among contemporary poskim, what you would say for Sfaradim who follow the Mechaber's view is, in fact, the subject to debate. They're Machmirim, among others, the Or Lezion, who says that it would be Aser. Now, Agav, we also have another interesting question, which is, even if you're going to come from, let's say, the Yerushalmi, right? So, shouldn't it be a klisha malachta l'isser once you say it has Torah's kli? In other words, if you're going to, okay, maybe even kol malachta l'isser, but not more. And if you're going to be make over kol malachta l'isser, it would still be matan tzach kufa mekomo. And maybe in a chanami, you would say that. Now, obviously, another important question that's going to come out from this is if you are going to be coming out the Yerushalmi, so then you also have to figure out what about other games? In other words, what is it about ball playing that was so problematic? Is it because Shabbos is meant to be devoted to Torah, and therefore ball playing is a terrible idea, and so all toys and games are the same? Or is there something unique about balls that makes it worse? Not clear. It's hard to understand why it should be so different. And of course, also, if you are coming from that Yerushalmi and the like, then you have to figure out whether you're going to make a distinction between, let's say, younger kids for whom it's hard to understand why ball playing would be so problematic versus older kids and certainly adults, where we can all understand why ball playing is going to be something that's not appropriate for Shabbos use.
Ladies too?
Yeah.
What?
The ladies also?
You're saying that there should be a chiluk because of Bittul Torah? To me, maybe, or maybe not. I think probably it's not just coming from Bittul Torah, especially if you're going to assume, like the Medrash, that this relates to Shabbos, but relates to the idea that Shabbos is a day that should be spent in Kavod, Oneg, Menucha, and Avodas Hashem.
And
Avodas Hashem. So that's also a very important question. right? Which is, we do have an idea that oneg hulo, you know, running, right? That's also said by kids. And so, you know, when we say that it's oneg for kids to run, is that just because it happens to be that, like, kids like to run, but if you have an adult who likes to run, you could also go running on Shabbos? Or no? Is it possible that there's another function? In other words, it has to be appropriate on it, and the like. So again, once we're in that, analyzing the question from that perspective, so it's a much broader question. That's all I'm saying. And I mean, we're not going to be machriyah now. In other words, it's much more than a shaila and hilchos muksa. Really, it's what does hilchos muksa tell us about the nature and the character of what Shabbos is and what Shabbos should be. Now, we're not going to solve that problem now. And I think it's a very important question to think about, especially to think about our own Shabbosos and to think about the Shabbosos for our kids. And it's a particularly complex question nowadays, which I think was a little different than in the olden days, because in our world, play is something seen as productive and necessary for much older children than, you know, once was. I remember my grandfather telling me that, like, this whole idea of play is Amerikanischer Sach. And, you know, when he grew up, you know, when you're 10 years old, you either go learn or go to work, but don't, like, play. And it's, you know, I think from his perspective, it was like rather pathetic, this idea that, like, we play and certainly that adults play and the like. So, okay, so adults are adults, we could say, and they should be, but, you know, we have, and now I'm not, it's a very serious point, and that's why I don't want to discuss it now, because I think it's a complex thing that really requires a lot of hadracha from gedolim and mechanchim and the like. But, you know, I think that for many kids, if we were to try to restrict their playing on Shabbos, Shabbos could become a very unhappy day, and that's not a pashut inyan. But at the same time, we do have to be mechanchim them for what Shabbos is. I know that one of my rebbeim let his kid, who liked ball a lot, play ball until bar mitzvah.
Is he from?
And then he told them they had to stop, and it was hard for their kids. But you know, they grew up, and they came to appreciate it. But it's a very very important thing. Let's talk about very briefly different types of toys. Other toys besides balls, and what their status would be vis-a-vis hilchos muksa. So, let's say you have a noise-making toy, like a toy trumpet, like a little kid's toy trumpet, you know, that the like 3-year-olds play with or whatever it is. So, l'chora, that would be a klishmatol yeser. If you have a toy...
Why is that a klishmatol? It automatically makes it a toy.
No, but that's the primary use. In other words, the toy, that's why I gave an example of a toy trumpet, or something like that. As opposed to, let's say, a toy car, a toy that has a siren, a toy ambulance, a toy fire truck, things like that, that you could play with them and make the noise, and you could play with them and they won't make the noise. Or not just noise, but whatever the issue is. So those are bepashta seklishim lachto lehater. A middle case, which is a tricky one, is what about something like a rattle or something like that? The bir halacha shin lamed ches and sif aleph has a suffix about this. And the question seems to be, is the use of a rattle, right, a rattle doesn't make music, but it makes noise. Rama's machmir about that. But is that a chumrah, or is that an isser? And if it is a chumrah, so then how does that play out? We've talked about before, when you wouldn't do something else, chumrah, does that make it, is that the same as isser, or is it different? That's part of the suffix of the Bir Halacha. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who thought maybe to be makel about this, because it's only Asher Al Tzotim B'chol. This is in Parak Tes Zayin Halacha Vav in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So, so that's an interesting question. He says, he has a svara, he quotes on the bottom, from Shlomo Zalman to be Mekel, because he says, no, that's not the same one. He says, since I think it's only because it's also Ovd in the Chol, that's why, and it's not really Ovd in the Chol to play with the rattle, so then it would be mutter, even though it makes noise, because noise making is also Ovd in the Chol. So,
why is it play trumpet any worse? Because it actually plays.
That's music.
Yeah, but a 1-year-old is not making music on the play trumpet.
So
metal sounds.
You press.
Okay, it's interesting. Maybe you could think about that.
A button when you press it plays music.
Right. I was actually thinking of the. We have a toy trumpet that plays a song. In other words, you press the button. You don't blow into it. It does it. You pretend to blow, but you press the button and then it plays. I don't know. Mary has a little lamb. But in your case, maybe you could think about that. Now, you could try to make the following. There's a couple of questions here beyond the scope of our discussion. You could try to make the following argument. I believe I saw this argument somewhere. But I couldn't find it today. Maybe it's in the Simcha Benu Kongen, which is that, no, we shouldn't treat this as a klish panach to liyaser, like I saw the Orach HaShabbos does, but rather, it's a klish panach to heter. Let's take the case.
Are we talking about the rattle? Or
the no, the, even the toy trumpet. Why? Or any type of mukset, you know, why? Because let's say these are designed for kids that are allowed to play with it because they're lo yigil l'chanach, right? So my ishtamshus is to give it to the kid. That's not isser. And the kid's ishtamshus is mutter because he's lo yigil l'chanach. So memeila, it should be klish mach l'hatter, right? What is my ishtamshus of this toy trumpet? Is it to play, to like, you know, play the Mary Had a Little Lamb? No. It's not. My ishtamshus is to give it to the kid to play with. And the kid's playing with it is heter, because he's allowed to. Whereas the way the Orcho Shabbos looked at this whole question was different. He was looking at it as, look, it's usher for the kid to play with it. Maybe I don't have to stop the kid from playing with it, because he's lo yigil l'chanach. And moreover, therefore, the Orcho Shabbos says, you have to enter into the world of safinan, because we know that even though in based on Mitzvah Lafrisho, you're not allowed to give a kid Isser. So he says, well, to put it in front of the kid might be mutter. To hand it to the kid would be Usser. And then it gets into the famous Shulchan Aruch Harav, by the cookies with the letters, and that whole world of the Gader of Safinan, which is certainly beyond the scope of today's conversation. So there's really two perspectives that you could take about toys that do things that formally for an adult would be aser, and that's something that you have to look into. One other issue that comes up in this Mishnah Brura by ball playing is that obviously there's the issues of hotzah. Okay, those are pretty straightforward. You can't play ball where you can't carry. But another issue that the Mishnah Brura brings up, which is a very interesting issue, is the Gemara in Erevin, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef and Shin Lamed Ches. Let's just take a quick look over there. We don't have time to really do it properly. But the Gemara says, so it's Shin Lamed Ches Sif Hei, but the Gemara that we're looking for is quoted in Sif Aleph, And it says, Amarav Yehuda Amarav Nashim Amasach Kos Begozim Aser Maitaima Lav Nishim Dekam Molad Kala. This is in the sugya over there of Molad Kol. So why is it Aser to Anashim would never play with Moses? V'chol Alude Kala Asir Lo Dilm Asir Lashriye Gumos. There's a machlokas whether Lamaskana we paskin. There is an Isser of Hashmas Kol, in which case maybe it's Aser out to that, or because of Hashmas Gumos. And it might be, and this is something that the Beis Yosef Itzitei argues, that everybody would actually agree, even Rabbeinu Hananel, that there's also an Isser of Hashmas Gumos. So here we have a new Gzeira, right? What does it mean? This is probably games like playing jacks. And the idea is that if you play a jacks on a dirt floor, so you want a flat surface for it to do well.
Marbles,
things like that, correct. And so there's a gzeira of hashvas gumos. Good. And that's the halacha. You know, certainly it's going to be usher to play jacks on a wood floor. The question is, what about soccer? Right? So basketball, usually that'll be okay. Again, moving aside all the other issues with ball playing. But basketball would probably, well, you mean the deflation of the ball?
Do you want a smooth surface, otherwise it's going to bounce back.
Oh, the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't usually play on dirt. You play on concrete. So that's a good question. So you could argue like this, that row of basketball courts are paved. So just like we're makel for sweeping, because row of houses are sweeping. But so where would it really be a problem? It would be a problem with soccer, right? I guess it would be a problem with golf also, but hopefully nobody's asking about golf on Shabbos. So, but let's say playing soccer. So if you, the notes from Rav Nemensal on the Mishnah Berurah say that according to this, soccer is
usher.
If you
do it, you just play ground soccer.
What?
You need a flat surface.
So you don't. And that's, we're going to get to that in a second. Though, you know, it might be a little better if it's flat. Otherwise, who knows, you know, you're going to kick the ball this way. It's going to say that's part of the game. It's fine. But, so good.
As an English person, I never had in soccer. We start
good.
The game with
you can't even call it soccer.
Exactly.
So now, I am inclined to say, like you, and we cite Tshuva cited by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Apparently, I never even heard of him until we looked up the Tshuva. The Shels of Shuvah She'elei Tzion, but until 1997, so before I got there, he was the Rosh Kol in Kerem Yavne. And now we got there as Rav Tubi. So I guess before Rav Tubi, there was the She'elei Tzion. So he has a discussion about the various potential Yisurim about balls. He wrote this tshuva, you know, like 60 years ago. But anyway, and he makes the point that you were making, and I think is very reasonable. And it really gets to the question of how do you understand this gzeira? If it's a gzeira that was you can't play games on Shabbos on the, you know, unpaved surfaces, then we would say, okay, it's a little plug, a couple of taima, and we'd have to be mounting. But that's not the pashtus. The pashtus is, 1 second, that it was at most a gzeiron playing with a gozim or maybe games of that nature. And therefore, when we play soccer, there's no chash that you're gonna flatten it. Nobody does that. And even if you did do it, you would probably do it with your feet. Like, let's say a big clump got knocked out, so now there's a hole, maybe you'd kick it back in, which is anyway only in a sederabanan. Even maybe with your hands, he's unsure. And moreover, and therefore, basically, you know, we don't have to, this is not a realistic chash. Nobody goes ahead and is mashvagumos when they play soccer anymore. And the gzera doesn't seem to be presented as a formal takana whereby we would say, batla time, a little batla takana, and it's a little plug. And therefore, soccer and other sports, football, etc., should really be okay. Again, assuming the other issues aren't relevant. Now, one final point, and then we'll take a question on, you know, other relevance. So the Mishnah Berura in Siman Shin Lamed Chesef Katan Chaf Aleph. So he notes that playing ball was really pasnished for Ben Torah to Moshe Leitz, and even during the week. Shin Lamed Ches. Aren't we supposed to play? Should we consider our plans to have a Kolo basketball game?
Bishnah, I could play. I don't know about you guys.
Quotes the Maharas Sasson. Kevan Shain Toelis B. Dias Chachmas Aschoka, who Vuadin Bechol Mune Schoika, sir. Vaf Bechol Yuzar Mishamosha Leighton. I think it's obvious that this does not, certainly it's not true for exercise, and I think like all matters of Moshe Leitzim, you have to consider it in terms of the time and the place and what else they're going to be doing. You know, they're not playing ball, so what's the alternative? It's going to be a bigger Moshe Leitzim a lot of the times. Ball playing is like the safest, healthiest, you know, outlet sometimes. But anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan, certainly on Shabbos, is very concerned about the Yerushalmi. We'll quote with one final source from the Perish Mishnah Esla Rambam on the Mishnah Sanhedrin by Misachik Bekuvia. So the Mishnah says that Misachik Bekuvia oscillates. There's a discussion in the Gemara why that is. Is it because, you know, Osek Yeshiva Shal Olam, or is it because of Asmachta? In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam mentions Asmachta, but the Perish Mishnah Esla, he seems to be so similar like the opinion of Osek Yeshiva Shal Olam, and he says that this really has nothing to do with gambling, per se. It has to do with play. And that's because a person should put all of his energy and life into one of two things, either making the world a better place, tikkun olam, or making yourself a better person, chachma, and the like, Torah. And this is neither of them. Certainly, when it's something that is their umnus, so it makes you puzzle for edus, but it's a reflection of the fact that a person should use the time that we have on Olam Hazeh for productive purposes. And, you know, what that Rambam, the way I think I heard Rav Stav once say that Rambam is that the reason why Misach, it's Bittul Torah. Right? Gambling is the ultimate Bittul Torah because there's no Toelis at all. But what you see is that, you know, someone who's constantly engaged in Bittul Torah according to Rambam, is Apostle Eidos, Ein Lochei Avon Haba, he says in the Pirsha Mishnayis of Sanhedrin. So this is certainly something that we have to think very carefully about. Yes?
By football, when you say basketball, marbles and the like, you play on a dirt surface.
Uh-huh.
You don't play football on a dirt surface.
Yes, that's another point. The fact that you play on grass is even more of a tzadlak, although in Eretz Yisrael they happen to play on dirt much of the time.
Okay.
But no, I agree with you. In other words, the chances of coming to Hashvah Skumos on grass is much, much, much lower. It's not impossible, but much, much, much lower than it is on a dirt surface. Though again, you know, there's some baseball you play in dirt and infield at least. And in Eretz Yisrael, I think sometimes it's paved, but often when it's not paved, sometimes it's grass, but a lot of times it's dirt. So
it's because it's dry.
Yes.
If it's like England, like kind of, yeah, I've been in dirt before. It's right. Either paved or it's grass.
Well, when I say they play in dirt, there's like a little bit of grass, like,
yeah,
you know, here and there.
That's
but,
what it says in England.
Yeah, no, it's not. I agree. I agree with you that there's more of a tzadlakel for grass also, but I think the pasha is, yeah. But if you're going to say it's a low plug, it probably won't matter. And if you say it's not a low plug, then it'll be mutter even in dirt. Because there's not so much of a reasonable shash. Yes?
What about something like, assuming everything outside, like something like baseball? I assume all the bats just in terms of ball, because you haven't played baseball in a while. But no, but you also, you hit it goes on the ground, then if something happens to the ground, you're going to make it.
Yeah, that's what I said. It messes up the grounders. I don't know. I didn't play so much baseball, to be honest. I mean, I was really lousy at it. I did play it. And, you know, I think do, in my experience, people, I never saw anyone be mashva gumos, like by fixing the infield.
Now, professionally they do.
Professionally they do. And professionally they do it for soccer and the like. The question, again, here is that if nobody does it non-professionally, is that a concern or no?
People kick the dirt with their foot. It's
sometimes people will like wipe off.
To be mashva gumos, or they like
yeah,
to kick the dirt
with
their
foot? Yeah, no, to be mashva.
Okay,
you
good. Yeah. So if that's true, then you should certainly not play baseball on Shabbos. That's, if it's that, then good. So baseball is asur on Shabbos for sure.
Use a foot though, you said it's okay.
No, you can't do it.
No.
Oh, but
it's
you're
saying
zero.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. I hear that. That is what he said. Okay, good. Let's go on.
Some soccer on the ground is fine.
No.
No. But Nevin saw, I thought, Kurt says on the ground is fine, no?
No, he just says an acre is always put on dirt, on paint. So.
The same word that we say for sweeping.
The quote from Nevin saw.
It's the same thing. Here, here's the, it's Vita in the Makor.
Yeah, yeah, no. Maybe it's a different
one.
Right, so it's mutter to play basketball on a paved surface because it's just like we say for sweeping.
Is this from Shmuel Shabbos?
Yeah,
footnote quotes from Nevinson.
Yeah.
No, he says,
I don't know if it's the same thing.
No, it says, he quotes Kivon Kadaregel Asurim.
The Shmir Shabbos does not say Kadur Regel's Asur. The Shmir Shabbos punts on Kadur Regel.
No pun intended.
It's going to be preserved forever.
Don't worry, I have enough comments in there.
He doesn't, he's definitely, he's very careful in his lashon. He writes, Ein l'asur mischake Kadur. And he says, Ein lasur. I write, I didn't write it's mutter. I just said, we're not going to asur it. And then he says, Lahotzi mischa kadur regel. In other words, he doesn't want to matir kadur regel either, because then he quotes our Mishnah Brura, and then he quotes a Shalei Tzion, who is more no telaka. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, you could, it's, I guess it's hard to be medayik. And I could a little disagree with. Right, but that's not unique to Kadur Regel. That would be true. Yes. I don't know if you could, you know, somebody maybe asked of Neuvert the way Paskin and but to me, from the formulation of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, it's not clear to me that he meant to aser it or meant to avoid the question. I think he was trying to avoid the question. And not avoid it, but not be machriya. Okay. Let's go on. Sif Mem Vav. So I really did want to talk about it because this is very interesting, as Ike taught me all about. It's not just because I ever make silk or carry around silkworms in my armpits, but it shows you. You know, last night I gave a shiur here in the shul about all about how, like, when we learn halacha, we don't just learn the bottom line; we learn the ideas, the conceptual, and that's how. It's applicable, you know, modern questions can find their answers in the Gemara and the Rishonim and the like, even if they never dreamed of it, because we study the ideas. This is a tremendous example, but we're going to have to skip it. Maybe we'll talk about it in breakfast. But from this, Sif is a major source about all these questions about walking into your house and the cameras and the automatic doors and the thermostats and the coffee makers. Like, anyway... Take a look at Shvira Shevet Alevi. We're not going to talk about it. Maybe again, it's a good breakfast time. Yeah, the Dershu quotes it, but you have to look it up the whole thing because you can miss the point. The reason why it's so interesting is like this, because you're walking around with these worms that in your armpits. So, well, sorry, the eggs to hatch, and they need the heat to hatch. So. Are you mechavein or are you not mechavein? And if you're not mechavein, do we say that the fact that it's going to happen, but you're not mechavein, but you're just doing your regular thing, you're just like walking around, is that aser? Anyway, it's fascinating. But I really was hoping to finish Simen Shinchas today. We might have to extend the kol next week. I'm not sure. Now, turning to Sif Mem Zion. You see, I realize that if I start before 4:30, then I can have to make sure we start. So here we have an unbelievable machlokas. Question is shatnez, right? Two opinions. Is shatnez muksa or not? So let's try to understand what's going on here. So what's it said to be machmir by a beggar shel shatnez? So lechor the pshat is, because it's batel taras kli. In other words, what if I have a suit with shatnez, so what is it good for? So you could tell me, I could use my suit to wipe my floor. No, I'm not going to do that. It's a suit. But as a suit, I can't wear it. So it's batel taras kli. And it's not going to be like a klishim lachtoli isser, even though it's true that it's usher to wear. So the tashmish is isser. No, because it's going to be batel taras kli. Now you'll say, maybe this should be like kol melachtoli isser. And the fact that we're machmir here will be a raya l'hachmir for kol melachtoli isser. Right? Because the only ishamshus of this kli is to wear, and wearing is usher. And to the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, and probably the opinion that's Iker, it says it's usher. So, we have a raya for kol melachtoli isser. Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe the pshat is over here that once a garment cannot be worn, it's not even a kli anymore. My iPod is for sure a kli. I have no heter use on Shabbos, but it's a kli without a doubt. This, let's imagine you had a suit and it was a 99% finished, but it wasn't entirely finished. They had to, like the Shulchan Aruch describes, open the collar or something like that. And so it still needs a little bit of tikkun. And so what would we say? We would say it's a kli? No, it's not a kli yet. It's still raw material. That's true. I put a lot of work into it. But it's like pieces that I'm going to use to make a chair. It's wood and screws and nuts. This doesn't have taras kli because it's essentially an unfinished garment. Now, you might have thought unfinished garments that are only unfinished because of the halacha are different than unfinished garments that are still mechusar tikkun because you need a cut and snip and snow or whatever. But that's what we're saying. No, this is an unfinished garment. Now, then we have, we're going to get back to the machmir, but let's talk about the mekilim for a second. Why would they be mako? So, the tzad lahakel, if you look at the Beis Yosef from Beinu Simcha, is because it's like the sandal ha-mesumer. What's a sandal ha-mesumer? Sandal ha-mesumer is something you're not aware in Shabbos, and yet we still say it as taras kli. Like cleats. There's a whole tragic incident with this, and therefore they said it's usher to wear.
Even the week
they don't. Oh, so now, no.
Let me ask for
Shabbos. Right. So now, what about the mekilim? So what were they going to, machmirim? Why would they say it's not like the sandal ha-mesumer? What Rabbi Yochum say? Say no, because sandal ha-mesumer for sure is taras kli, like we said. It's just usher on Shabbos. Now, in other words, a sandal ha-mesumer will be a kli shem lachtoli isser, right? It's a kli, it's usher to wear on Shabbos. Whereas this doesn't have taras kli. So what will the mekilim say? Right? Why are the mekilim mako? Why is it like the sandal ha-mesumer and not, like I said, an unfinished suit? Right? A suit that needs a professional work to get it done. So maybe the answer is the Mekilim hold that this is more kal because it's Aryu Deravi Alei, just like the Sandal and the Sumer. In other words, as a suit, this is totally functional. It's just a halachic impediment that I'm not allowed to wear it. Similar to the Sar the Rashba, that if you have things that are in a box that cannot be accessed on Shabbos. Now, what about, that's what the, but I have a question. That's not a good svara. Because what about, we saw raw fish is muksa, right? Pre-sushi, the ancient times, right? So raw fish is usser. So why is it usser? Because I can't use it raw. But I could cook it, right? So are you a Dravya Lai? Are you driving late? The only reason why this is no use on Shabbos is because of the Isser Bishol. So if I'm going to say the Svara, that something that's only no use because of the Isser isn't Muxas, I'll say the raw fish. So Elamai, the difference is no. The Dag Tafel, that is not food. It's inedible. Here, it's usable. It's just an Isser to use it. In other words, it's a big difference, and the same thing for Kli, or same thing for food. There's a big difference. Now, this brings us to tough, but let's leave that for aside for a moment. There's a difference between something, according to the Mechilim at the very least, between something that is fully functional except for even except for halachic impediment versus something that's non-functional. It's true I could make it functional by doing something else on Shabbos, but right now, it's not food. Oh. So, l'chora, that's the difference. Now, so b'kitzer, they seem to be arguing about something that's not ra'ui for any use at all, even b'chol, but because of a halachic impediment. Whereas if it was a more physical impediment, presumably everybody would agree. Now, maybe you could bring a raya to here from our discussion earlier about sandal hanitzak. Remember, we discussed the question of your sandal breaks on Shabbos, and what about if it breaks in a way that's really unfixable? And what about if it is fixable? And we say if it's fixable, it's not muksa. So maybe over here, we should say the same thing, because it's fixable, i.e. I could take the shatnez out, and we're makel. But maybe that's not a raya, because there, it's only makel if it broke on Shabbos, pashtos, and that's because, since it's only lasakin and it's ikaro kayim, but here, where it kilu broke before Shabbos, this wouldn't be true. Now, according to Mechilim, just to make it clear, l'char this would have the din of a klish lachto lahatter, l'isser, and the machmirim would say, it's muksa legamre. Now, if we look at the Gra tells us very interestingly what are the stuff over here. So this is again we're in the Gra is Tzadi Aleph, no Tzadi Gimel, Tzadi Beis first, right? So the Yesh Osrim Sof Perek Hamidyantif. So this is the end of the first parak of Beitza. Elokilayim. What's it talking about over there? It's talking about gifts to give on Shabbos, or basically, what is muksa not? And the Gemara over there says that generally speaking, a kilayim would be muksa on Shabbos. It's mefurish. The Gemara says that if you had kilayim that have a use, then it wouldn't be aser, like hard kilayim that could be used for other things, but you know, for a standard, for like a suit, that the Gemara seems to say quite clearly, that would be muksa. That's a raya for the machmirim. So what is the raya for the mechilim? The yesh, shakushyas, agamar mishan, etnan, kolshin, usin, ba v'chulei. So you really need to read the v'chulei over there. The v'chulei is the Gemara later on concludes that if you're ne'osin, ba v'chol, it's mutter on Shabbos. So the Mechilim are going to say, this is Ne'usim Bo B'chol. Why? Why? Because I could fix it. And the Maskana Sagimara is that if it's Ne'usim Bo B'chol, Al Yidei Tikkun here, then it's Mutter even B'Shabbos. So the Mechilim seem to understand the Gemara was Chozer Mil. Yes, the Gemara initially said that Shatnez would be Muksa, except if it's usable as Shatnez, like hard fabrics. But then in the Maskana, it changed its mind, and the Machmirim would say no. The Gemara did not change its mind. This is consistent with what we said earlier. Ayin Shum, that really the way the Garden is learning it is two very different ways to read that Gemara. Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Iker is for the Machmir, like the Machmirim. Okay. There's a couple of other issues that I want to go through, but I guess I'll go through them quickly at the beginning tomorrow in Sif Nun and Sif Nun Aleph. Especially, there's an important discussion about the Istralob. If anyone has one at home, you should bring it in to show us. Otherwise, we'll just look at the pictures and Aaron's notes. And then, of course, the main avoda tomorrow will be the simon shin test. So the Shmir Shabbos